Our text today, we're taking a break from Mark, but we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. I'm going to back up to the beginning of the chapter for our reading. So our reading will start with verse 1. We'll read the first 16 verses. This is the word of God. Hear what he says to the church. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, or pastor teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Let's ask his blessing upon it. Father, we praise you for the greatest gift ever given, your Son, your only Son whom you love. The grace that you extend to us who deserve not the least of your mercies, but have in Christ received them in full. We pray your blessings upon your word and upon your church, that we may hear and perceive and understand and turn and be healed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, as we celebrate God's giving, title of the sermon, Gifts from the King, we have gifts from the King. We're going to get to that point in just a moment. But I want to walk you through how I want to look at this passage as it relates to us today. The first thing is it's gifts from the King, and I want to talk to you about that King. So by way of introduction, let's just talk about that King for a moment. I asked my children, as I was reading it, it says, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. Who is he? Who is he? Who's the he? Jesus. That's not hard to ascertain. It's the book of Ephesians. The whole first chapter is he, the one whom, he, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, the one, in Christ, in Christ. The whole book's about Jesus. So he is Jesus. But I want to point out to you that it's not just Jesus. That should sound funny to you to say, just Jesus. It's not just Jesus. Who am I talking about when I say Jesus is the one who gave? I'm talking about Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, Christ, Christos, the Greek word, that means Messiah. So this is not merely a great prophet, a great teacher, a really cool guy that's giving these gifts. It's Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, Messiah, Son of God, Son of Man. The one who by his own lips testifies, I was alive and I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And that's what we read in this first part of chapter 4, when he says that he was the one who descended and the one who ascended. He's letting you know that this king, that this Jesus, that he is the Messiah, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the ruler of the nations. We're going to sing later in our service about how all the kingdoms of the earth, not just nations of the earth, but the kingdoms of the... What's the difference? When you talk about kingdoms, you're talking about the nations in terms of their power. They're not just a nation or a country. They are a kingdom with a king, with authority. And all of the kingdoms and all of their authority and all of their power, what are they called to do? To worship Christ, the King. He is the ruler of nations. He is the one of whom, Hebrews says, he upholds all things by the word of his power. The stars are in their place because he rules them. The sun shines because he has said, shine. The ocean comes to the shore only so far because he has said, thus far and no farther. This is he who has given gifts. It's not just great gifts. I had an uncle who every Christmas gave the best gifts. I don't know how. I don't know. He didn't spend a lot of time with the children, but every child looked forward to those gifts. And as wonderful as that was, it's not even... Now that I'm thinking about it, my analogy borders on blasphemous in comparison to the glory of this one who gives these gifts. So the King who upholds the heavens, the King who knows the number of every grain of sand in all of creation, who knows the number of hairs on your head, has named the stars, that King has given gifts. Are you with me on the importance of the giver? So I want to talk to you now about what he gave. Well, it's easy to look at the text here and see what he gave. It tells you. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets. Okay, so if you're reading in the Pew Bible, take the as out of the text. It's in italics. It's not there. He gave apostles. He gave prophets. He gave evangelists. He gave pastors and teachers. These are the gifts that he's given to the church. I want to pause and ask you, can you find, looking at that text, what all of these gifts... This is not a conclusive and exhaustive list. It's given here for a purpose. What do all of these gifts have in common? Let's look at them. Apostles. You know what apostle means. It's the one sent. What were the apostles sent to do? Preach the gospel, right, to proclaim Christ. Prophets. What was the job of prophets? Wait, it was not to predict the future, period. They did do that, but every prediction had a specific purpose. What was the purpose of a prophet? What is Christ, the great prophet, our prophet, priest and king, right? What's the job of a prophet? To be the mouthpiece of God. What is he going to say? The word God. Are you starting to see something pop up? What do evangelists do? Evangelists are those who evangelize. It means to take the gospel. Wait. Are you seeing how this is? There's a theme. Evangelists are to go and proclaim the gospel. And what do pastor teachers do? Well, the teaching. They're not going to teach you algebra. They might. I'm not going to teach you algebra. That's why I went to seminary. What are pastor teachers going to do? They're going to teach the Word of God in such a way that they shepherd and pastor you. Do you see what he's given? That the gifts that Paul's speaking of, which Paul is speaking of here, all pertain to the Word of God. Do you see how uncomfortable that dramatic pause was? It's so that you stop and think. All the gifts of God are to pertain to His sufficient Word. But there's another gift that makes all of those gifts make sense. I'm going to get through this without getting weepy here. There's another gift implied in the text. Because if the apostles were sent to tell you about the gospel of Christ, and prophets were to tell you about Jesus Christ, and evangelists were to tell you about Jesus Christ, and pastor teachers are to tell you about Jesus Christ, what's the gift upon whom all of the gifts make sense? The one who descended and also ascended. The descending King of the universe. He rules over all things, and yet for these pathetic, wicked, rebellious, hard-hearted, stiff-necked rebels, He stepped across the stars that He numbered and into our misery and descended. And not only so, because He didn't simply just zero out your account, but He ascended having accomplished redemption. And He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And as the ruler, Messiah, King of nations, King of kingdoms, Lord and ruler of all things, the only head and King of the church, He gives gifts to you that point us to His love and mercy. Psalm 23. Today, we're receiving gifts from His hands. I'm not trying to make it awkward for you gentlemen, but I need you to know this, both you and this congregation and anyone else who wants to listen. Because I can talk about Jesus all day. Don't y'all amen? Because Christ came and conquered and rose again and sat down at the right hand of God, He gives gifts. And the giving of elders to His church is a reminder that He is still sovereign King, still the Savior of sinners, still the lover of those who deserve not His love, and still the one who maintains His church from first to last. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, is a continuation of, I will put enmity between you and the woman and her seed and your seed, and you will bruise his heel and he will bruise your head. You will lose, thus saith the Lord to Satan himself. And so the giving of elders to the church is a declaration of God's love and faithfulness to her. No pressure, guys. The reason I can say there's no pressure is not really a joke. Because what we exercise is not our own wisdom. It's not our own power. It's the love and mercy of a sovereign and holy God. So what were the gifts? The officers of the church, based upon the giving of the greatest gift, the only begotten Son of God, whom He did not withhold because of His love for you. But I want you to see that there's a purpose for this. Not just simply, we could just stop and praise Him, right? Stop and sing a psalm. Look at how much God has loved sinners like us. But there's more. There's a purpose. What He says in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ. That is to say that in the giving of these gifts, it is part of God's equipping you to do what He has said to do in His Word. Remember, this all pertains to God's Word, right? So for the equipping of the saints, how are you going to be equipped? What is God's provision for your equipment? The officers that are given according to the giving of Christ. That's what He says at the beginning, right? Each one of us, to each one, verse 7, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. To be equipped. Because what do the officers have, and what does this list have in common? They all pertain to the Word. So what is it that the church is to be busy doing? Learning and teaching God's Word. Learning and teaching God's Word. The church is to be busy about learning and teaching God's word. Why am I repetitive here? Because the church very easily gets busy doing all kinds of other things and paying attention to all kinds of other winds and doctrines and waves, when what he has called us to do is to preach, to teach, to learn, to treasure the word of God. So the purpose, he has a purpose that we should be equipped. The word of God is profitable. It's breathed out by God and it's profitable, Paul writes to Timothy. How does he equip us for the work of service and build up the body? How does he do this? Well, sometimes he teaches us. What was the comfort of the rod and staff? Why was that comfortable? Because I know that if I err, he won't leave me to it. By the way, the implication is you will err. You're going to sin. That's not giving a foothold to Satan. You just need to acknowledge you're a sinner. That's why you need a Savior. And he has come. And he rose again. And he's seated at the right hand of God. And so the rod and the staff, sometimes it's correcting. But not for the sake of correcting, but for the sake that you might be corrected. Did that make sense? Not for the sake of me saying, ha ha, I'm right and you're wrong. Who doesn't love that? I told you you were sinners. I know you like that. We love to tell other people I'm right and you're wrong. But that's not the goal. That's not the purpose God has. It's that the person who is erring might be corrected so that he or she can walk with the Lord Jesus. Equipping us with those whose business it is to tell us, here's the path, here's where you are, and show us how to get back on it. Paul says, the word of God is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for showing error, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That's the equipping of the saints. And God uses everything. You know when the session makes that decision that you don't care much for? Oh, let's just be blunt about it. You didn't like it at all. It's your responsibility and God's calling to you to come to the session and say, why did you do that? Help me understand. Because obviously the session wouldn't have done it if it didn't think it was right in doing it. And now there needs to be this exchange in which the truth of God is laid out and God's children can come together and discuss these matters. But the building up the body of Christ, you know, one of the things that's been wonderful in coming to Syracuse, I've watched children of this congregation raised up and increase in their knowledge. My very own children, I've seen it. Sabbath school teachers and fellowship with friends, I've watched them grow in grace. I've watched adults do the very same thing. I've seen new people, new faces come into our church. God builds up his church. When Jesus said, I will build my church, let me say this plainly, he wasn't joking. He said, build his church. And by the name of him who rules over all things, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You understand that gates are not an offensive weapon. You get that, right? Gates are designed to keep things out. When Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, what's he telling the church? We're being equipped for something. What are we being equipped for? He says right here that we might be equipped for the work of service and the building up the body of Christ. What are we going to do? We're going to charge hell and break down the gates of the grave, because the Son of God has spoken to the dead and they've heard his voice. And hell loses. You want proof? I'm going to give you two witnesses. They're both going to be ordained and installed today. That's proof that God is building his church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Why? How do I know that? Because he says right here that he gives gifts for this purpose. Until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. I'm going to intentionally and forcefully start concluding our sermon here. As y'all know, there's so much more here, and I've got plenty to tell you, but I want to point this out to you. When he says, until we attain, so he has a purpose to equip us, but the equipping has a purpose as well. that we might attain to the unity of the faith. You'll notice he does not say unity of politics. You'll notice he does not say unity in the color of the carpet. That was a play on churches arguing about the color of the carpet. What's the unity of? Faith in the resurrected Son of God, in the mercy of a sovereign God, in the holiness of a sovereign God, in the rule and reign and power of a sovereign loving God. And everything else flows from that. You see where he says, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. You see that? Fullness of Christ, verse 13. This is the fullness of which he spoke earlier. In verse 10. He descended. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens. Why? So that he might fill all things. What's our task? Brothers and sisters, what is our task? Jesus said, go into all the world, Matthew 28, go into every nation, teach them and baptize them. What are we supposed to teach them? It's at the end of Matthew 28, if you need to look. What are we supposed to teach them? How to tie a tie? What are we supposed to teach them? To observe all that I have commanded y'all. It's plural. Everything I commanded y'all. Go into all the nations and teach them. You remember that reference I made a moment ago? I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Guess what we're being equipped to do? And how are we being equipped to do it? Brothers and sisters, God has given us gifts. And today I want you to be so excited at this service because it is a reflection of God's mercy as we receive his gifts as undeserving recipients of a promise of faithfulness and grace, that it is finished. And God's love, the glory of the knowledge, I did that backwards, the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. Let me make you this promise. And today you see a hint of it. The knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. There's coming a day when every eye shall see him. Every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Whether that is willingly, they will be made willing in the day of your power and rejoicing. Or whether, as captives, all will bow before the Lord Christ, who gives to you today a token of his promised victory. Are you excited yet? Are you overwhelmed with how awesome God is? To my brothers who are being ordained and installed, I want you to see how beautiful he makes you. Not because you're perfect. Not because you won't ever make mistakes. Not because you won't err. But because he has said, these are mine and I'm giving them to you so that you know I am. And with that, all of God's people can say, and let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your mercies, prompt gifts of grace. Thank you for the reminder of your word that our Lord Christ is the one who rules over all things, and he has given gifts to his church that we might be equipped to take your word to the four corners of the earth. Beginning here, O God, please help us to begin in our own hearts, in our own congregation, here in Syracuse. But wherever we attend, Lord, help us to begin with ourselves and with our own churches, that the knowledge of the glory of God may indeed cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. We ask this in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Amen.